Listening test.
Directions. In this section of the test, you will have an opportunity to demonstrate your ability to understand conversations and talks in English. Answer all the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in the recording. There will be time for you to read the instructions and you will have a chance to check your work. The recording will be played once only, time allowance, about
40
minutes, including 5 minutes to transfer your answers to your answer sheet. Part 1. Questions 1 to 8. Directions. In this part, you will hear 8 short announcements or instructions. There is one question for each announcement or instruction. For each question, choose the right answer. A, B, C, or D. Then, on the answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer that you have chosen. Now, let's begin with the first question. First, you'll have some time to read the questions 1 to 8.
One.
Hello, this is Katie Burke calling from Kochco Internet Services. Mr. Clifford, the reason I'm calling is we haven't received your payment for the installation of the modem and cable. We need your payment in order to activate your service. Please contact us at 1-800-222-4503 between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you at your earliest convenience.
Two.
I am pleased to announce the grand opening of Atlas Steels Corporation here in Hamilton. As Director of Operations, I can only try to express how proud I am. We will open the plant doors in early July, and we'll look at hiring an additional 100 staff members. And then closer to the end of the year, we will most likely bring on another 75 people. We've expanded quite a bit since our first production facility in Milton, to our present-day plants in Portland, Rochester, St. Louis, and now here in Hamilton. We are looking forward to joining the community.
Three.
Miss Damon, this is Peter Bedford calling from the Air Italia Airlines Security Desk. I am happy to inform you that we have located your baggage from flight AI-893. We will be delivering it to the Nardizzi Hotel. I believe this is your location while you're staying in Rome. The delivery should arrive this afternoon before 4 p.m. Should you have any questions, please contact me at 1-888-567-4FLY. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused you, and thank you once again for your continued patronage.
Four.
Welcome to Pelle Morrison. My name is Cameron, and I will be serving you this afternoon. We have 2 special dishes prepared by our chef this lunch. I would highly recommend both the sun-dried tomato and feta-stuffed chicken, or the wild rice-stuffed bell peppers. Both items are priced at $17 and are served with a cup of soup and a side salad. Our pastry chef has also added an item to the dessert menu. It's a lavender-infused mousse cake served with chilled whipped cream for $8. Would you like something to drink while you are making your decisions?
Five.
The township of Lincoln would like to inform its citizens of the upcoming city closures due to festival events. Starting Friday, November 9th, St. Paul Street will be closed due to the annual city parade. Pedestrian traffic only will be permitted between Church Street and Jarvis Avenue. Priority access will be given to families with small children who wish to attend the event. The streets are expected to reopen Monday, November 12th. We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience. However, we do hope that all of the residents of Lincoln will join in the festivities to help make the annual event a success. If you have any questions about other planned events, please contact the city's Tourism Authority at 239-3497.
Six.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our third annual Business Awards Luncheon. We will begin with opening comments from last year's Business Person of the Year, after which we will enjoy a buffet-style lunch. Please remember that tickets are still available for next month's charity ballroom dance event entitled Under the Sea, which you can purchase at the reception desk. Shortly after lunch, we will be acknowledging this year's award winners. Please sit back and enjoy.
Seven.
Good afternoon. I'm calling to leave a message for Lyle Peters in the laboratory. Hi, Lyle. This is Dr. Gina Weston from Northtown Medical Associates. One of my patients, Kelly Sanders, had some blood tests done a couple of weeks ago at your hospital. It has been 10 days and I'm still waiting for the results. Could you please get back to me at your earliest convenience to let me know when I can expect to receive her file? I can be reached at 892-6680. Thank you and have a nice day.
Eight.
This is the final destination of our tour today. You'll notice that this room is unique in comparison to the other rooms we've looked at today. This is the master bedroom, and despite the fact that it was decorated over the same period, it looks much more modern. The other bedrooms are a more traditional Renaissance style. However, completion of this room did take longer than the others due to tight finances in the Great Depression. Work was stopped for over 2 years until Mr. Jenkins' business flourished once more. Before you leave the building, let's stop in the gift shop, where replicas of the Jenkins' many treasures are sold.
That is the end of part one. Move on to part two.
Part 2.
Questions 9 to 20. Directions. In this part, you will hear three conversations. The conversations will not be repeated. There are four questions for each conversation. For each question, choose the correct answer. A, B, C, or D. Questions 9 to 12. First, take some time to look at questions 9 to 12.
Julie, would you please push back my 1 o'clock appointment this afternoon? I have an emergency meeting with the president.
Of course, Mr. Laurie. When would you like to reschedule?
Well, the president informed me that some clients will be arriving at 2, so let's say 4 o'clock. I should be back in my office by then.
Great. I'll see if he can be here at 4.
Questions 13 to 16. First, take some time to look at questions 13 to 16.
My internet service is so slow, it's really affecting my work. I think it's time that I change internet providers.
You should contact Rogers Incorporated. That's the company that I use. They have great service staff and their technical support is the best in the industry.
Thank you for the suggestion. I'll keep that in mind.
And when you call, don't forget to mention my name. They'll give you a new contract discount and credit my account for referring a friend.
Questions 17 to 20. Listen to a conversation between a customer and an employee. First, take some time to look at questions 17 to 20.
Pardon me, is this the information desk for the leadership training seminar?
Yes, it is. What is your last name? I'll pull up your registration file and package for you.
I'm Ted Dyson. And also, do you know where the talk on employee motivation will take place?
It begins at 10 a.m. in Conference Room A, here in the main convention building.
That is the end of part 2. Part 3. Questions 21 to 35. In this part, you will hear three talks or lectures. The talks or lectures will not be repeated. There are five questions for each talk or lecture. For each question, choose the right answer. A, B, C, or D. Questions 21 to 25.
Listen to part of a lecture in a psychology class.
First, take some time to look at questions 21 to 25.
So, we've been talking about human cognitive and social development. Now, I'd like to move along to discuss Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, a very influential theory that has been widely applied both inside and outside the field of psychology in, education, social work, and even criminal justice. Now, Maslow began his career studying the behavior of monkeys, and, one of the most interesting things he noticed was that some of the monkeys' needs took precedence over others. Some needs appeared to be more important. For example, if the monkeys were both hungry and thirsty, they would seek water before food. See, you can only live for a few days without water, but food... Well, food is still important, you still have to eat, but the need for water is stronger. The monkeys also needed to play, to get exercise, but the needs for food and water were more pressing. Out of his observations of monkeys and later observation of people, Maslow developed his ideas into the now famous hierarchy of human needs. Let's take a look at each layer of these needs in greater detail. As the monkey story illustrates, the first layer, the physiological needs, is the foundation, the needs that must be met first. Unless you get enough oxygen, water, protein, salt, sugar, vitamins, and minerals, and unless you maintain a healthy pH balance, body temperature, and so on, you won't live long enough to worry about very many other needs. Moving on, the second layer of needs is, the need for safety and security. So, let's say you meet all your physiological needs. Soon, you'll probably start thinking about finding stability and protection. Developing structure, creating order, those kinds of things. Defined negatively, when you're no longer hungry and thirsty, fears and anxieties are your next concern. You want to find a safe neighborhood, job security, a retirement plan, and so on. Meet these needs, and you'll focus on the needs for love and belonging, which is the third level in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have your food, your comfortable shelter, your job security, and you begin to feel the need for friends, a partner, a sense of community even. If you don't meet these needs, you'll grow susceptible to loneliness and social anxieties, a major problem in modern urban societies, alienation. There are socially acceptable ways to meet these needs, getting married, joining a club or church, and less socially acceptable ways, like joining a gang or getting involved in a drug culture. Now, we're at the fourth level, esteem, needs, and here, pay attention, Maslow notes two subsets. The lower one is the need for respect from others, status, fame, glory, recognition. Get the idea? The higher form involves the need for self-respect, confidence, achievement, freedom even. Now, this stratification of esteem needs is often debated, though I think Maslow had it right in the first place. Self-respect is the higher form. Unlike the respect of others, and we all know how fickle that is, once you gain self-respect, it's a lot harder to lose. Fail to meet your esteem needs, and you're a candidate for some significant psychological problems. Maslow didn't believe humans could meet all four levels of their needs and just stop and be content. They would continuously need to grow, emotionally, cognitively, and socially. This is what he refers to as self-actualization, the fifth level. Few people meet all four preceding levels of their needs, so Maslow had less of an observable basis to define what self-actualization meant. And let's face it, this level is also the most abstract, the hardest to pin down. He did point out that self-actualized individuals, at least the ones he observed, tended to be autonomous, not overly concerned about social norms, yet at the same time had a strong sense of ethics and concern for the human species. They demonstrate a non-hostile sense of humor as well as a sense of humility and respect for others. They tended to be very creative, inventive people. One thing educators, for example, have taken from Maslow's theory is the importance of making sure children have their most basic needs met as forming an important foundation on which to teach them not only knowledge, but also the values of self-respect and respect for others. Let's take a brief look at how this is done, okay?
Now get ready to answer the questions.
Questions 26 to 30.
Listen to part of a lecture in a history class.
First, take some time to look at questions 26 to 30.
Today we're going to talk about what spices meant to medieval Europeans, what symbolic value they had. Most of you never give much thought to the salt and pepper in the cafeteria, or the supermarket, or a restaurant, am I right? They're inexpensive, readily available, pretty boring you might say, both of them. We tend to think of salt and pepper as a pair, but they actually have very dissimilar histories, different journeys that led them to end up on our dinner tables. First, let's look at salt. In moderation, it is an essential part of a healthy diet, but it's so common nowadays we wouldn't consider it valuable. The attitude was different in, say, some kingdoms of Africa that maintained ancient salt trading routes across the Sahara Desert, some of which still exist today. Of course, people need some in their diet, but it was valuable mostly because it was one of the few substances known to keep foods from spoiling quickly. Our word, salary, comes from the Roman practice of paying soldiers partly in salt rather than entirely in money. But, back to my point, trying to lay out some symbolism for you here. While medieval Europeans would have considered salt a very necessary substance, they also considered it very mundane, nothing special, sort of like how we see it today. Now, pepper was the exact opposite. Medieval Europeans developed quite a powerful taste for pepper and other spices, like cinnamon, and nutmeg.
Sure, you could use pepper or nutmeg or cinnamon to season your food, but they're not essential to the diet like salt. Some people believe that these spices were important for preserving food or even flavoring food that was no longer fresh. Well, that's not such a good explanation for the popularity of these spices, as medieval Europeans already had salt and plenty of native herbs to flavor or preserve food. Does anyone have any ideas why pepper and other spices might have been so popular? How about you, Diane?
Maybe they taste better?
Sort of. You're headed in the right direction. I mean, they were more desirable and taste may have been one factor. But something that's strange or different or exotic might be more interesting, right? And so, it was with pepper and other such spices like cinnamon, ginger, cardamom.
Sorry, Professor. But how exactly could pepper be exotic?
Good question. See, they didn't call this time period the Dark Ages for nothing. Travel and commerce across long distances were dangerous and rare. Your, average European was generally not in contact with anyone outside his or her local world, say within a 10-mile radius or so, except through the church. But that's a whole different issue that we're going to bypass for the moment. Now where was I? Oh, yes, so pepper came mainly from India, and cinnamon from Ceylon, what we now call Sri Lanka. But very few medieval Europeans had the slightest idea where they came from. All they knew was that merchants could buy spices from Arabs in Egypt. Where the Arabs got them from was a mystery.
So the spices were valuable just because they came from far away?
Yes, right. But even more than that, and this is what I want you to get out of our discussion today, because spices were rare, pretty much only purchased by the upper classes, nobility, not by the masses. There's no way you'd find pepper on a table in a medieval university dining hall, and if you did, you wouldn't take it for granted. You'd feel pretty special eating it. Because they came from so far off, well, the disconnected Europeans weren't quite sure where a lot of them came from, spices were actually thought to have their origins in paradise.
People actually believed spices came from heaven?
Well, not exactly what we think of as heaven today. In the worldview of medieval Europeans, paradise was some physical place on earth, someplace far off and unknown, but real. That's what gave exotic spices their symbolic value. Salt, like salt today, was available to all, a very democratic item, you might say. Pepper, cinnamon, and so on were reserved exclusively for the aristocrats. Kings, queens, ruling nobility. Spices were more than useful. They set the rulers apart from their subjects and suggested that they, the higher classes, were closer to paradise than the commoners.
Now get ready to answer the questions.
Questions 31 to 35.
Listen to part of a conversation between a student and her professor.
First, take some time to look at questions 31 to 35.
Hi, Professor Plummer. Do you have a minute?
Sure, Liz. Sit down. I'm just finishing up the latest online self-test for class. There, now. Just this, and great. It's ready for you. Are you finding the online stuff helpful?
Actually, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Well, I was wondering, have there been problems with the site lately?
Problems? What do you mean?
Well, I haven't been able to do the last quiz. I mean, I can get on the site, but it's so slow, it's really frustrating. There's like a delay with everything I type.
A delay?
Yeah, I don't see the letters immediately as I type them, like I do in a word processing document, for instance. And then all of a sudden, they'll show up, the letters, in a group. It's so disconcerting. I end up making a lot of mistakes that way. It's like talking and hearing your words delayed rather than as you say them. You know what I mean? Hasn't anyone else complained?
No, Liz, no one has. And I was just online myself with the final run-through of the latest test. I didn't have any problems at all.
I really need these self-tests and all the other stuff you've been putting online. It's really useful, Professor. I don't know what to do now. Why am I the only one having trouble?
Well, Liz, maybe you have a virus.
I thought about that, but I've been running an antivirus program all the time I'm on my computer.
What about spyware and adware? Do you have a program for that?
Well, sure, my antivirus program.
I doubt it, Liz. Most antivirus programs aren't set up to look for spyware or adware. You need a separate program for that. There are several good ones out there.
And that spyware, adware stuff, it could make my computer act funny?
Sure could. The people who make these nuisance programs should be shut down. If you ask me, it's an unethical business practice to sneak them onto people's computers. The problem you're describing makes me think this might be what's happening, especially if you were able to access the online site before without any problems.
Yeah, I was. That's why I was so sure it had to be something with your site rather than with my computer. I log on one night and it's fine. The next night, it just doesn't work. Guess I'd better stop by the computer store and get an anti-spyware program, huh?
Well, first I'd recommend taking your computer to the computer help desk and having it checked out to be sure this is the problem. They usually know their stuff.
Right. That's a good idea. Thanks a lot, Professor.
Good luck, Liz.
Now get ready to answer the questions.
This is the end of the listening paper. Now, you have 5 minutes to transfer your answers to your answer sheet. This is the end of the listening test. Please put your pen down.